Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, power in the home. Been staring such a while at my Bible. Verse 11. When you find it, please say amen.
Amen.
It says this, verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. In other words, you get favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So you try to do bad, bad will come. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house. This is really what kicks my whole thing here. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And you know what the wind is? Nothing. Nothing. And the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, eternal life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. So that means you're going to be, while we're living here, God meant justice to us. Much more the wicked and the sinner. Now looking at verse 12 too. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Lord, I don't know who we're talking to today, but whoever you're talking to, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Power in the home. It has been said that what is wrong with America begins and ends with the family. What's wrong with America begins with the family and ends with the family. In other words, when somebody is messed up, somewhere the family was messed up.
My Lord.
Family didn't fix it. Family didn't go at it. The family just said, hey, it'll be all right. And that's not how God operates. The family is supposed to be a nurturing, a developing, a planting, a chastising. A family is there to bring us to the right relationship that God would have us to be. That's what the family does. So when families don't have that, they lack the power of what the home should be producing.
Right.
Oh, my. I know it don't affect your home because everything's perfect. But I'm telling you, for some of us, it's up and down sometimes. The family is the center of our relationships. When we begin to live in this world, our examples are picked up by families. Even though you might be raising your child one way, if he's involved with another child, that child, your child will be affected by him. In other words, we all are one unit together, whether we like it or not. When you send your child to school, he's been disciplined by another set of household, another set of family, because that teacher has their own guideline of what's right. And then you got the children there. That's why we have the problems we're having, because there are so many families in disarray. You go look in our community, especially our families are at disarray. These young men who are doing the shooting at 12, 13 years old, they come from dysfunction. So how in the world can they correct that which they have been molded to be? Their friends are dysfunctional. So how can they become something different? Only through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Only through Christ Jesus. Because we can have all the psychologists in the world. They can't make you well if your brain, if your makeup has been set so that you don't even know right from wrong. And I keep getting hit back to this young man who runs this program and telling me that the child told the mother of the boy that he shot said to him, if I could, I would dig him up and shoot him again or something like that. This is crazy.
Yes, it is.
How can you be so evil? Because you come from such dysfunction. You don't even know right from wrong. You have no barrier, no model to set, to go by, to live by. And these are the children that you and I are to be ministering to. And you'll say, wait a minute, I can deal with some problems, but some of this stuff seems beyond my understanding.
Yes.
That's because Jesus was left out of the household, and there's no power in the home.
That's it.
It's where it is. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, came from dysfunction. Mm-hmm. His daddy's name was David.
Yes.
And you know the stuff that David did.
Yes.
The Bible said he had a heart after God's own heart. Yes. But man, that man was wicked when he wanted to be. He could be loving, but he was this and he was that.
Lord
have mercy. You see, that tells us that God uses each and every one of us, no matter how much dysfunction there is. He can bring us to a point. But the damage we do to the family, what David did to Solomon, made him a very self-centered man. See, Solomon had all the riches. God gave him even favor, gave him wisdom beyond everybody else.
Yes.
God fixed him right, gave him that. But even after God doing that, the man was so womanizing and everything you could think of. This man was that. Because he was trained in a wicked household. Self-centered was his lifestyle. Now look at verse 29. It says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. David troubled his house. He was a father that had a whole lot of problems. And he just couldn't seem to get things right. Messed up a whole lot of people. A bad dad can create nightmares, especially with males. That makes us as grandparents especially trying to recover in the grandchildren. And it's difficult.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't stop us. It still makes us responsible. If your grandchildren are out of whack, it's still you and I's duty to make sure that the best we can do, we do.
Right.
But if you ignore your grandchildren, then what have you done but threw your possession to the wind? Like David. You, in other words, your grandchildren or what you inherit from them is the wind. Because your children did not do what they should have done for their children. So now you as a grandparent are left with a whole lot of windbags. Whole lot of stuff. And you feel responsible and you feel like you can't do nothing about it. You feel guilty sometimes, so you try to make it up with a few dollars here and a few dollars there. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's a rough situation. The first trouble that caused a household to go down is the morals of the time. The morals of the time. When you look at today and the morals, what we have is what is called right and what is wrong. We look at that. That is set in our children. They tell our children today, you can do everything you want. You can do anything you want.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Do what you like to do.
Yep.
Alternative lifestyle.
Right. Yeah.
You want an alternative lifestyle? It's yours.
Right.
See, they told our children that. They tell them in the school. Right. The teachers are telling them this. You got teachers that are that way. You are putting the wrong model before the children. And then you're trying to tell them what God say. And they're telling them whatever.
Right.
And now we got a messed up situation.
Yes, sir.
The power in the home has been affected.
Yes.
Because of what the school and the state has allowed to be presented as models.
Right.
And a teacher is a model.
Right.
Most of us can remember a teacher that impacted us our lives as we were coming up.
Yes, sir.
You can remember one or two of them.
Yeah.
Now somebody said, no, I ain't had none, all of them were bad. But I knew there was somebody in there that was good. Uh-huh. There was always somebody, one of them. I remember one of them that hit me with a paddle in the seventh grade, Mr. Fisher. When I see his face in my head today, I just cringe. He was left-handed, and he hit me with a paddle. And you know, I always thought left-handed people were crazy anyway. I was like, that was... They used to say that. That ain't true. It ain't true, y'all. Hear me? It ain't true. I'm saying it ain't true. But I used to think that because it says that something's wrong with her brain, on the other side of the brain. I said, whoa, I'm wrong. But that's not the case. Left-hand people are good. I got left-hand children. Yes, I got left-hand children. They all right. But he could swing that paddle. This man was like 6'3 and 270 pounds, and here I am, 120 pounds at the buff, and this man take this paddle and just whack, and I'm not supposed to cry, and all the kids are looking at me. And I remember this, when I walked, I was numb, I didn't even know what was feeling, I didn't even have a rear end, it's numb, this man done hit me so hard. Everybody looking at me, they smiling, they don't want to laugh, because they know this man is a little bit off. They don't want to laugh, but they're looking at me smiling. How did I get here? And he did that because he said that I was talking. Now, I understand. That's when we first went to the mid school, the school that was industrial, had industrial shops, and you had to be very careful. We were in the wood shop. And he said that if somebody cuts their hand, that means you weren't listening to me. So I'm going to make sure you listen. So when I talk, nobody talks. And I guess I was whispering to my buddy. And I guess I got it. I tell you what, I never umbled another word in that class. He set the moral guideline in that class. I had to be the one to receive it and show everybody. And for a long time, everybody walking in that classroom was quiet. Because this man could hurt you. I was still numb when I went home. He tore me to pieces. That was the last time I had got a spanking in school. That one time, I said, Lord Jesus. And I'm glad I didn't go home and tell mom and them about my dad anyway. Because he might said, okay, you think you're numb now, you're going to get another numbing. Thank God it didn't happen. But this is what the power in the home does. It allows correction to be done. Power in the home allows children to be corrected. When you don't have power in the home, children are not being corrected. And we know we're children. When you're a child, you think as a child, you act as a child. You're going to do some things that children do, but you've got to understand there's consequences to your action. I remember that when that teacher did what he did, I remember children coming to me after the class and said, man, that was, I'll never forget that. I mean, he impacted a lot of people. But that's what he wanted to do. Yeah. And that's what he got done. But he saved somebody's hand from getting cut off. Even though it was that kind of thing, he saved some child from going home with fingers messed up. Because now everybody is what? Paying attention. See, but that's what happens in a place where we're trying to make right. So in your family, when you have to spank your child, require. The Bible clearly tells us that we are to correct the child. Don't kill him, right, but correct him. Yeah. So it's not wrong to correct your children. Of course, I always believe there's got to be some control, though. You can't go crazy and end up hurting and really physically hurting them. But that was the old school. Remember that? That was the old school. The home is also troubled with the do as I say parents, and not as I do.
Come on now.
Yeah. That's a tough home right there. Yeah. I don't care what I told you not to do it. You care what you see me doing it? That I'm not in your picture. You do what I tell you to do. And then the parent is doing Do as I say, not as I do. That's a tough parent. That's a tough parent. Because it's tough to tell a child not to do something you're doing right in front of them every day. Don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
There you are. Puffing away. How does this work? And they think that that's the way I'm okay with it because I'm an adult. I can do what I want to do. But what's the example you're setting? What is this example you're putting before your child? How can you have power in the home when you are deceiving your own words? This is the problem. I don't know why God gave me this to present today, but I know my feeling is I'm thinking about children a lot today, more than I have in a long time. Especially when I read about these killings. Something's got to get done.
Yes.
I was in the, what's that place, the restaurant there, Burger King's, going through the Burger King. I had a rough week this week, y'all. I like to lost my eye. I had to go and get my retina was detached in my eye. And thanks be to God that they found it. I went through for my regular checkup and everything looked good so far. And the lady says, I said, well, it looks good so far, so I don't go through the rest of the test where they numb your eye and stuff, put it all in there. I said, I don't want to go through all that. She said, well, don't you want me to finish? I said, no, you didn't say I'm wrong yet. She said, no. I said, well, I'm done. She said, Mr. Hall, can I just complete my paperwork? I want to make sure. And she goes on further and finds that I have a detached retina. And I said, what in the world? How does that happen? And then I blamed everything on my mom, you know. She got a bad eye, so now I got a bad eye. And they fixed that and they did laser on it and sealed it all around. And once in a while I see a black spot, but I don't read it. I say, you ain't there. You just pretending to be there. And but now my vision is good. I thank God. But here he is, you know, just trying to, you know, if you don't allow God to work, see, he had me to go to the doctors at the time that I did. This was an annual visit. They found it on an annual visit. I skipped a couple of them before. This time I hit it. And God said, you had to be there.
That's right.
And now I have vision. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
God is so good. He makes sure that everything's all right. I was thinking, this is it. When they told me that, matter of fact, I was trying to get to a guy who was up at Will's Hospital. I got it done at the VA. And I was trying to say, wait a minute, VA, let me go to the top specialist. And my insurance was not fixed to go there. So I said, you got no choice. I said, man, but God made it right. And I'm so glad that he did. The children need to know. Whatever a man soweth, so shall he reap.
Amen.
In other words, young person, even though I might be telling you one thing and doing another, what you put down is what you're going to get results from.
Lord have mercy.
And they need to see this. How can you tell a child to do something different than you're doing? And you're doing contrary to the truth, contrary to right, and now you're trying to tell them,
yes,
look at me.
My God.
Follow me. You're a bad parent. You're a bad parent. I don't know what to say about it. But we have to be mindful that our children are seeing models.
That's right.
That are worthy of being called models. Look at verse 27. It says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, receives favor. He that does diligently seeketh good. I mean, I'm talking about when you try your best. That's what this is telling us. When you try your best, this is what God wants us to do. Try our best as parents and grandparents. Try our best for our family. Let them see example. Do your best. Don't quit on it. Do your best. It is very, very, very difficult sometimes to maintain all of those qualities in your household, especially when your children are young and they're coming up, and you got work, you got managing the household, you know, you got spouses, you know, you got responsibilities in other places. I mean, that parent is busy everywhere. And yet they're still trying to raise a child or children. That's, you all remember. Huh? What a world we lived in. What a world we lived in. And then to be able to do it and stay married. Because, you know, children try to separate the children's parents. Get mad with one of them and say one thing and make it difficult.
Yeah.
Sister in Hall and I, we trekked right through it, didn't we, honey? We worked right through it. Stayed right with it. And one thing we did, we didn't let the children come between us. That was important. Because sure enough, somebody's going to say something or do something that really makes trouble. The home is also troubled with spiritual inconsistency. In other words, one parent is saying, you got to follow God.
Uh-huh.
And the other parent said, really, I don't care. That's spiritual inconsistency.
Uh-huh.
There's no way a home can be what it should be if they're not on the same accord when it comes to Jesus.
Amen.
You can't, you're going to have a problem. Because somebody said, I want Jesus in the house. And another person said, it really doesn't matter to me. When you say it doesn't matter to you, then as far as you're concerned, you don't want him in the house. Sorry, you don't want Jesus in the house. That's one thing we made sure. That the children knew that the life as a Christian was most important. The children have to see that. You have to do that. And I know it gets tough. It gets, because you get worn down. But if you want power in your home, then these things are important to keep and make sure that they're manageable. Now, somebody in here is saying, Reverend, I am in a position now that I'm not even thinking about children. I'm a grandparent, and I don't even have to worry about that. Even my great grandchildren are adults. Well, see, even as a person becomes an adult, they still need guidance.
Amen.
They still need guidance. Your grandchildren need guidance.
Yes.
Your great-grandchildren need guidance.
Yes.
Even still, your children need guidance.
Yes.
Need guidance, don't they? Our own children need guidance.
Yes.
My son walked in the house last night with a catfish about this big. Said, Dad, I need you to clean this catfish. Sister Hall came to me later and said, why did you make him clean that catfish? I said, I don't know. That's my son. And when he asked me to do something, if I could make life better, and I tried to show him really how it was done, because catfish are, they're not as easy.
Right.
The skin on them is tight.
It's tight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, I cut them feelers off.
Yeah.
They ain't got to do with that. I ain't got no head on them. I just cut them off and fillet them.
Yeah.
But to me, I showed him how to get it started, how to get that done. So you would know, because I never had done a catfish that size. I've had smaller ones. This was a big boy.
Yeah.
And he took a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
But Sister Hall said to me, why don't you? And I said to her, I don't know what it is about my children, but I'll tell you, whatever my children ask, I'm going to do. I love my children.
Amen. All right,
I was blessed to have children.
Amen.
They have been my pride and my joy.
Amen.
And I know God gave me the responsibility to train those children.
Yes, Lord.
And I have worked at that, and I still work at that today.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are adult people,
yeah,
they are still Reverend Hall's children.
That's right.
And I love them with all my heart. I don't care how difficult it gets in their life. They know that they can come to Dad.
Amen.
They know that Daddy is there for them.
Amen.
They know that I still feel responsible for what goes on in their life.
Uh-huh.
God gave them to us. God gave your child to you.
Yes.
And that child is yours till God takes them home. And I'm so glad that we have the families that God has allowed us to have.
Amen.
So the home is troubled with spiritual inconsistency. And it's also troubled with moral guidelines. And I'm not going to hold you too much longer here, but I want you to know there's one way for a home to be repaired. Mm-hmm. And that way is Jesus. You can bring back and restart that which was supposed to be in the beginning. You can bring it back and start over with your child and say, look here, I messed up along the way, but now I want you to know there is a name above every name, and that name is Jesus. I might not have told you as many times as I should, but I'm telling you now, you must be born again. You must be aware that you have to be saved. You have to live a life that is representative of Christ. You must do that. And don't quit it. You got to do it. Go back. Even if you missed it before, go back. Do it with your grandchildren. Go back and tell them, let's start all over again. That old song we used to sing when we were in the streets. Starting all over again, gonna be rough, but we gonna make it. Starting all over again with them. Yeah, I used to be out there. But most of all, the home that is in despair, the home that's in crisis, the home that's unfriendly, the home that's in the disruption needs Jesus. The only way you can make everything right is through Christ Jesus.
Right.
See, I don't care about the psychologist. I don't care about the other people in your home and people that you know. It has to come back through Jesus Christ and yeah. Him crucified.
Amen.
Everything has to go through Him.
Yeah.
There's no way to repair what's been done to you, except Jesus steps in and makes you a new creature in Christ. Can't do it. Nothing can be done except Jesus is involved. I'm glad that He's the author and finisher of your faith. It's Jesus. He said, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come in. So let Him come in. Tell your children, let Him come in. I don't care. I know they get tired. I've heard mine. Dad, that's all. When I come back here, that's all you want to talk about. I ain't got no choice because I know what you need. You think you know what you need, but I know what you need because what you need, I already had. I got that, and I want you to get it like that. You got to tell them that. You got to work at it, and it gets exhausting. And it makes for bad bedfellows. It makes, in other words, it makes for an antagonistic feeling. But you can't spare Jesus. You can't keep Him away from Him. It's important that they know that everything is based on Jesus and Him crucified. Everything. This whole world is based on Jesus. The president is based on Jesus. In other words, what God allows is what there is. When God said no, there is no. God is in run. He's in charge of this place.
Yes, He is.
So if He's in charge of this place, He's in charge of your household.
Yeah.
And once He's in charge of your household, you'll find there's power in my home. I got some power in my home. Amen. 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 Praise God. We thank God for the opportunity, and I know I look at this sometimes and I said, Lord, I don't know how this became so important to talk about today, but I was feeling that because of what's going on in the community. You know, it just feels bad to know that these children are running around with no guidance and they're killing one another, and you and I are going to be, we're trying to say, well, as long as it stays on that side of town, I'm all right. No. That ain't right. You're right. We have a responsibility to try to do the best we can to help all these children to get their lives in order.